weekly chat with our staff medical advisor from South Strand Internists. Every week we talk with Dr. Vandergriff, or today, Dr. Brian Adler, about various health concerns. Today, we're going to be talking about addictions. South Strand Internists featuring Dr. Adler, who specializes in addiction. And we're going to be talking not just about opioids, but also some surprising talk about older adults and addictions. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, you've told me before that you have specialized in this for years. I think probably we should talk about that more. But I have mentioned to you off the air that when I come in the mornings around 4:30 or 5 a.m., I drive right past a methadone clinic. And I marvel to you how many people are in the parking lot there at 4 a.m. waiting to get their methadone. I don't know exactly what everything, how that happens and what it does, but it just amazed me that this kind of a problem exists to this degree in this day and age here in the Myrtle Beach area. But I know you see it quite often, and of course we can talk about opioids. That's been in the news quite a lot lately, but there's much more to it than that.
Well, yes, Jim, the opioid or narcotic epidemic is, in all the headlines for good reason. Our country population of all ages right now are dealing with large doses of narcotic drugs, typically that are being prescribed by doctors. And again, that's, I guess, the area I want to focus on today, because I see all ages, and this is not limited to younger people, but to many of my senior and older patients that are on narcotics for back pain or joint pain. Many have been on these medications for years. They're on very high doses of these, 2, 3, 4 times a day. And the problems that we see with that is manyfold. Because these drugs are so regulated, it's very difficult for patients, because if they run out, often they can't get them renewed. Then they get sick and wind up in hospital emergency rooms. Most of these people don't even like being on them, but they've been on them so long they're afraid to get off them. The good news is, particularly for the opiates and narcotics, we have some very good treatment options and some newer medications that have had a profound impact in getting people off narcotics. That's a program that I actually offer in my practice, and there are several other doctors who are specialized that offer treatment for opiate dependency or opiate addiction. And there's a difference in those two terms. Opiate dependency is what happens when you take narcotics for a long period of time. Your body becomes so used to them that you can't get off. If you try to back off, and maybe some of your listeners experience this, if they miss a dose or run out, they get sick. So they're physically, physiologically dependent. They are stuck hopelessly on. They can't get off. That's not necessarily an addiction. An addiction is to another level, where people are going to any limit, to any endeavors to get the drugs, either illegally, doctor shopping, buying them off the street, taking them, not the way they're prescribed, and that's where it gets into an addiction issue. Either way, there is hope and there is treatment. There's new drugs out, particularly Suboxone, buprenorphine is a remarkable drug that has helped people successfully get off narcotics and change their lives. So that's a program, I offer here and several other doctors offer. So just for people listening, or for people, again, who have family members or a son or a child or a neighbor or somebody struggling with this, just to let them know there is help out there.
Well, and sometimes that's a very important message to get across. I don't know if the methadone clinic does opioid treatment. I always heard it was heroin. I don't know if that works. Methadone works for opioids. But I do know that becoming addicted to these painkillers kind of sneaks up on the older folks. The ones they are out of their car walking around. They're in the street. They're all young people at this thing. But the older folks who maybe have some debilitating back pain or something long-term that really need to have a painkiller, they may not realize that they're actually becoming, as this months and weeks go by, that they are actually becoming dependent until it may be too late.
And again, I see that every day in my practice. I've got seniors who are on high doses of these medicines. Often they've relocated from different locations. Some areas of the country are notorious for high prescribing. I get lots of patients from West Virginia, Kentucky, and some of these other states where there's really almost criminal prescribing of these drugs. People come down on large doses of these things. Not their fault. They've been on them for years. They don't know different. But they're not working. They're still having pain. They're having side effects from being on narcotics. Often when you're on these drugs for so long, they wear off quickly. So what happens for some people, within 1 or 2 hours, they start getting sick. So it's a vicious cycle of trying to take more and more just to feel normal. And then they run out, and then they can't get them filled. It's really a nightmare problem. So, again, many of the patients that I see of all ages, and particularly seniors, is just having an open discussion about narcotics. What are the alternatives, and what can we do to offer people help to get off?
Yeah, it's kind of, I know that folks need these painkillers, that's why they exist, but you've got different types of medicines that fall into the opiate category. Is it possible to switch from one to another to try to avoid dependency, or do the effects just accumulate no matter what?
Yeah, all these opiates have the same effect, and again, it's a question of how much and how often and how long. Now, some people absolutely do need them, so I'm not saying that no one should be on.
Right.
But they should be used very cautiously, very carefully, and especially used in combination with other drugs. One of the deadliest combination are people who are taking a combination of any narcotic along with Xanax or Valium or Ativan or any of these sedative drugs. It's a deadly combination that can result in death from overdose, unconsciousness, suppressing breathing and respiration. So again, you know, I see and hear almost daily people, you know, who are dying from overdose of narcotics or having just horrendous life complications as a result of it, because their whole life is being dictated by, you know, when's their next pill.
For folks out there who are listening right now who may be on some long-term, any kind of long-term drug that could be addictive, and, you know, they start to think, well, maybe I should stop taking this. Isn't there some danger on a person stopping taking a medication like this on their own without talking to a doctor?
There is. I mean, again, they'll go into withdrawal and they'll get sick. So, again, it really should be done under medical supervision. So, again, I would, you know, caution listeners to talk to their providers first. If they're comfortable, you know, addressing those issues, let them give them direction as far as how they can wean their medicine down. If their doctors are not comfortable with that, then they should refer to an addiction specialist. And there are, you know, a few here in the area. And then let, you know, the addiction specialist handle, you know, what would be the best approach from there on.
Addiction is such a fascinating topic. I know we're talking mainly here about you dealing with drugs and alcohol problems, but you know, addiction, there's so many nicotine, people who smoke, people are addicted to gambling, and even I've heard people addicted to food, this kind of stuff. Do you handle all that, or do you just specialize in the medical aspects of the drugs and the alcohol?
I deal a little bit in all of that, and again, you know, people are coming in every day with a variety of addiction issues, eating disorders, binge eating disorders, sexual addiction is huge. You know, there's so many different types of addiction, and again, you know, the key is first to identify it, and then, you know, define, you know, what is the proper treatment program. So, you know, many times these things get overlooked. Nobody seems to talk about often the big pink elephant in the middle of the room. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's very important, particularly as I see folks that come into my office, to really get that history and find out, you know, what's really going on. And again, often as you kind of dig a little deeper, when people come in with a variety of either physical or emotional or mental issues, you find out that there's an underlying issue either with abusing a drug or abusing a behavior that's really affecting their lives. And again, addressing it, naming it, and then, you know, finding the appropriate treatment can be life-saving.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you said right at the start, is that getting people to realize that there is help and it does work is very important. A lot of folks may be ashamed of their addiction and don't even want to talk to their doctor about it. And in many cases, I'm sure it's a family member or a loved one who says, you've got to go see, get some help on this kind of thing. But it always just amazes me that, I understand that if you drink alcohol, that you have this feeling, and that if you take heroin or OxyContin or something, you're going to have this feeling. But the other ones always puzzle me. I mean, I understand nicotine, but, food addiction, gambling addiction, that's I find it hard to make those two work in the same category.
Well, there's been a big shift in our understanding of all addiction, and again, I think the model now is the medical model treatment. It used to be that all these addictions have been stigmatized. People are embarrassed or ashamed of it, but in reality, nobody chooses to be addicted. Nobody wants to have an addiction. For most, there's a genetic component. Some people are predisposed so that when they come in contact, many for the very first time, with a drug or a drink, they're hopelessly hooked. And again, they didn't choose that. I mean, this was something that they were predetermined, predestined. So it's not an issue of, bad morals or bad decisions or bad things. It's a medical disease. It's been studied. There's a genetic component. There's a physical component. And clearly the approach to treating addictions now is like treating any other chronic disease, like diabetes or heart disease or a heart condition, where people do need regular ongoing treatment. Like any disease process, people shouldn't be embarrassed to say they're diabetic. It wasn't something, again, that they chose, but again, for whatever reasons, they developed, a blood sugar or a heart problem, and addiction issues are the same. So this day and age, we treat addiction as a medical illness. It's a medical disease. It's a chronic disease. Often it can have, periods of remission and relapse, like cancer and other diseases.
Right.
So we approach it and treat it in the same fashion. And again, hopefully over time, now that there's much more awareness, the stigma of that will go away, and people will actually seek out help, and again, not be embarrassed or ashamed to have the problem.
I saw a comedian one time, a comedian who ended up dying of a drug overdose, by the way, who made the point that an alcoholic alcoholism is the only disease where you get yelled at. People say, you're an alcoholic. And he said, nobody ever says, you've got lupus. And I thought he made a good point there. But the thing I want to maybe close on is that you may not know it, but there are living examples right around you every day. I've seen it at my church. I mean, people can come back from this. It may seem hopeless when you're in this in the throes of the addiction. But as you pointed out, we have specialists here, and there are maybe it's because we don't concentrate enough on that. We hear all the news about the epidemic of these different addictions, especially open. That's what's making all the news lately. But there are people who recovered and live a normal life, and they're all around us.
That's true. In this community in particular, we have so many great resources, and we have so many people who are doing great. And again, you don't hear about that because all you hear about is the negative. But there's a wonderful community of variety of resources, and a whole community of people who've had dramatic life change. Some of these folks that just seemed hopeless, are living very, productive, joyful lives, because they've been able to get the help that they need, and they're all around. And most people, I'm sure, have contact with people like that. They may not really want to be honest with them, or they're not willing to really ask for that help. But there's so many people in the community that I'm sure, practically everybody knows somebody who's made that significant change in their life, and are living much better for it.
And there's more than one way to do it, folks. If this sounds like you or someone you know, please talk to your health care provider. The answers are out there. And remember, if you don't have a health care provider, if you don't know one that specializes in addictions like Dr. Adler, you can call South Strand Internists. They're located in Surfside Beach on Glens Bay Road. Phone number 843-650-4006. Dr. Adler, great topic. Very, very interesting today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Jim.